Picture a new neighborhood coffee company with a beautiful logo. On a phone screen, it is sharp, friendly, and instantly recognizable. Then it appears on a paper menu, and the tiny lettering disappears. A week later, it goes on a storefront sign, and from across the street, it looks like a mysterious smudge with a coffee cup somewhere in the middle. The brand did not fail because the idea was bad. It failed because the idea was never taught how to travel.
And that is where clients usually say, "But it looked fine on my screen."
Yes, it looked fine in the safest possible environment, large, bright, centered, and sitting still.
Meanwhile, the customer is walking past a window, scrolling with one thumb, or trying to read a flyer beside a checkout terminal.
Exactly. Today, we are taking one brand idea across three very different encounters: a phone screen, a printed piece, and a physical sign. We will figure out what must remain recognizable, what should change, and why consistency does not mean forcing every version into the same shape. And Anthony is here because he knows what happens when a beautiful idea meets ink, vinyl, paint, distance, and weather. Anthony, welcome.
Glad to be here, and I already want to defend the sign. The sign usually gets blamed after the designer has asked it to carry a paragraph, three decorative flourishes, a phone number, and a tiny social handle from 50 feet away.
Fair point. The sign is often the first surface that tells the truth.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors, to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling, with your co-host, Wendy.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of crafting logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper.
From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. So grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing.
Stick around. Your imagination's about to get an upgrade.
Here is the question underneath everything we're discussing. What makes a brand recognizable when the conditions keep changing? A phone gives you a tiny screen and maybe half a second of attention. A printed card gives you physical texture, but it may be sitting in a crowded display. A storefront sign may be seen by someone who is moving, distracted, and already thinking about where to park.
So, before we adapt anything, we need to know what we are protecting. Otherwise, we are just rearranging decoration.
Right. I usually start with three questions. What is the visual promise? What is the recognition cue? And what action should happen next? One answer to each, not 10 promises, 6 cues, and a menu of possible actions.
Let's make it less abstract. Imagine a neighborhood business called Harbor and Hearth. They make prepared meals, soups, and baked goods for busy families. The first client brief says, warm, healthy, local, convenient, premium, affordable, traditional, modern, and exciting.
That is not a brief. That is a whole committee trying to fit inside a logo.
And if every word gets its own visual treatment, the sign is going to need a second building.
Exactly. We ask what the customer should understand first. Maybe the promises, fresh comfort for busy days. The recognition cue could be one rising line that suggests steam and a harbor horizon. The action might be, order tonight. Now we have a promise, a memory device, and a next step.
And notice that I said cue, not necessarily symbol. A symbol is one container for recognition, but it could also be a color relationship, a particular framing style, a phrase, or a repeated shape.
Good, because I was about to interrupt you there.
You were absolutely about to interrupt me.
Because some of the strongest brands are recognized by how several modest details work together. The color, the spacing, the voice, and the way images are cropped can become more memorable than one isolated icon.
That's a good correction. The goal is not to force every brand into a single logo-shaped answer. The goal is to discover the smallest set of choices that can carry the meaning.
For Harbor and Hearth, the rising line has potential because it can be bold or quiet. It can become the main mark, a border, a pattern, an illustration detail, or a cut shape on a sign. That is a useful idea. A drawing of an entire soup bowl with 5 ingredients may be charming, but it is harder to move.
This is where I resist the urge to open software too soon. I would rather see 20 tiny sketches on a napkin than one polished concept with no clear reason to exist. Draw the line. Turn it sideways. Make it heavy. Make it almost disappear. Ask what survives.
I would test it in one color immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately. If the idea only works with a soft gradient, a shadow, and 3 shades of green, it has not earned the right to become the core cue yet. I once worked on the storefront project where the client wanted the business name, a phone number, 3 services, a detailed illustration, and a decorative border in 1 6-foot panel. On the presentation screen, it looked rich. From the sidewalk, nobody could win.
Nobody could win?
The name was too small. The phone number was competing with the services, and the illustration looked like a dark patch at driving distance. We removed the phone number from the main panel, enlarged the name, and moved the service details to the window. The sign finally announced what the place was. The extra information did not vanish. It moved to a job it could actually perform.
That is the first pressure test. Remove the costume. See the idea in black and white. Make it tiny. Put it on a dark background. Turn it into a rough stamp. The point is not to make the final design boring. The point is to discover whether recognition lives in the structure or only in the effects.
In workshops, I sometimes cover most of a design and leave one feature visible. Then I ask the room what brand they think they are looking at. It is not a scientific test, but it exposes whether the design has a memory hook or is simply attractive.
And it changes the client conversation. Instead of saying, "This is the logo I personally like," you can say, "This is the cue we want customers to remember." That moves the discussion from taste to communication.
Now, let's move it to the phone. Are we designing for the tiny avatar or for the whole post?
Both, but not with the same job. The avatar needs fast recognition. The post needs recognition, a benefit, and an action. The logo may appear as a compact cue in the corner, while the headline says, "Fresh comfort for busy days." The order button carries "Order tonight."
And check it on an actual phone, not a giant monitor where every letter has a private apartment.
What must be understood before the thumb moves?
This is Harbor and Hearth. They make comforting meals. I can order now. Anything that delays those 3 ideas needs to justify its place. Mobile design is not simply small print. It is a compressed decision environment. The viewer may be outdoors, in bright light, between messages, and already carrying a dozen other visual impressions.
So the image should not show every product?
Not if showing everything makes the viewer work. One inviting meal, one clear focal point, and enough empty space for the message to breathe.
That same discipline matters in print, although print gives you a different kind of opportunity. Paper lets the customer hold the story. It also introduces texture, ink limits, folds, glare, and physical distance. A color that feels luminous on a screen can print darker or flatter. Fine lines can fill in. Small type can close up.
A printed handout may have more patience, but not unlimited patience. Where does it live?
Exactly. A card at a checkout counter competes with receipts, displays, and the next customer. A menu delivered to a home has more time. A mailer may be opened while someone is sorting through a stack of bills. The format matters, but the situation around the format matters just as much.
For Harbor and Hearth, I might let the rising line become a pattern across the top of the handout. Then I would use a short story about the meals, one photograph, and one offer. The decorative texture can return because the paper gives it room.
Right, but I would proof it physically. Put the handout on a counter, stand 3 steps away, turn it under ordinary light. If the texture is the first thing you see, the texture is now the headline, whether you intended that or not.
That is a wonderful test. What did your eyes hit first? What did you understand second? What could you do third? Those 3 observations tell you more than staring at the file at 100%.
And then comes the sign where everyone suddenly wants to preserve every detail.
Because the client loves the detailed illustration, the long tagline, the phone number, the social handle, and the little decorative stars. Nobody wants to remove anything. So the sign becomes a negotiation instead of a message. I ask one question. What is the one thing someone must know before they pass this location?
And the answer changes the hierarchy. If the business name is the priority, make it dominant. If the category is unfamiliar, make the category clear. If the sign is promoting a limited time event, the date may outrank the logo for that moment.
Wait, does that mean the brand is allowed to become less important?
Less dominant in one moment, not less meaningful. Strategy is not a permanent ranking. It is a ranking for a particular encounter.
And preserve the effect, not necessarily the exact pixels. The open gap in Harbor and Hearth's rising line can survive on a sign if it remains visibly open. If the material or distance closes that gap, then technically including it does not preserve anything.
On the phone, the cue might be a compact icon. On the handout, it might be a repeating border. On the storefront, it might be a large painted or cut shape. Different construction, same recognition.
This is where I want to push back. Designers can simplify so aggressively that the personality disappears. Everything becomes a clean icon, a bold sans serif, and a high contrast block. It may work at a distance, but Harbor and Hearth could start to look like a generic delivery app.
I agree with the risk, but I would separate simplification from sterilization. Simplification protects the signal. Sterilization removes the character.
But how do you prove the difference to a client who thinks warmth means adding more little drawings?
Show them materials, not just screens. A sign can feel handmade through the letter shapes, the spacing, the paint finish, the color, and one generous curve. You do not need 10 tiny icons to communicate warmth. In production, one strong gesture is often more human than a collection of details that nobody can see.
And show the personality where there is room for it. Keep the simple cue on the sign. Bring the hand-drawn ingredient illustrations into the menu. Let the photography feel human on the phone. Use the warmer voice in the copy. We are not removing character. We are assigning character to the surfaces that can carry it.
So the rule is remove clutter, not character.
That is going in the notes.
And preferably in large type.
Let's put all 3 surfaces into one campaign. Harbor and Hearth is launching a weekly family dinner box. The phrase is, make room for a good evening. On mobile, we lead with a close photograph of a shared meal. The rising cue sits in the corner. The order button is unmistakable. The headline stays short because the image and action need room.
That phrase sells a feeling before it sells a box. It says the product is helping create a better evening.
Exactly. On the printed insert inside the box, we can expand the story. The rising line frames a short note from the kitchen. The photograph can be smaller because the customer already has the product in hand. The action changes from order tonight to plan next week's box. Same campaign idea, different moment in the relationship.
Outside the store, the campaign becomes a window graphic. Large phrase, large rising line, one image or no image. If we put the whole dinner box story on the window, we create something that looks busy from the sidewalk and unreadable from a passing car.
And the sign is not failing because it says less. It is succeeding because it says the right thing first.
Now, imagine presenting this to the client. You do not show three unrelated designs and ask them to trust you. You begin with the core signal, the rising line, the warm comfort promise, and the next action. Then you show the signal moving into each environment.
First, show what stays. Then show what changes and why. The mobile version simplifies because attention is compressed. The printed version expands because the customer can pause. The sign enlarges because distance is doing the editing for you.
That makes the adaptations feel intentional instead of random. The client can see the family resemblance.
I also like to put the failure points next to the solution. Here is the phone version with a crowded headline. Here is the version with one idea. Here is the handout where the texture overwhelms the offer. Here is the handout after the texture becomes supporting evidence. Here is the sign with every detail. Here is the sign that announces the business clearly.
That is useful, because people often think the final design appeared fully formed. Showing the wrong turn teaches them what the design is solving.
And it prevents the classic approval problem, where somebody says, "Can we add just one more thing?" You can answer with the environment. We can add it to the menu, but on the sign, it will compete with the name. That is a much healthier conversation than simply saying no.
Artificial intelligence can help with parts of this process too. It can generate layout directions, help compare message lengths, or suggest how a phrase might be understood in different contexts. But it should not decide the core signal simply because it can produce 100 attractive variations.
More options do not automatically create more clarity. AI can help you explore, but the designer still has to recognize which idea has a memory hook and which idea is polished wallpaper.
And when the tool gives you tiny lettering, impossible production details, or an image that only works in a perfect mock-up, the real world still gets the final vote.
The real world is an extremely honest art director.
It tells you whether the contrast holds, whether the letters can be cut, whether the image is visible at the expected distance, and whether the customer knows what to do next.
Let's give listeners a quick experiment. Choose one existing asset. It could be a logo, a social post, a menu, a postcard, or a sign. Do not redesign it yet. Write one sentence describing the promise, one sentence naming the recognition cue, and one sentence describing the next action.
Then sketch the cue three times. First, make it tiny, about the size of a thumbnail. Second, imagine it at arm's length on a printed piece. Third, imagine it across a street or above a doorway. Notice what survives. Is it the silhouette? The color contrast? A word? The spacing? The feeling? Circle the feature that remains useful in all three situations.
Then write down what you removed. That list matters. Maybe the phone version loses a secondary line. Maybe the sign loses the detailed illustration. Maybe the printed version gets the texture back because paper gives it room. Intentional simplification is not failure. It is design making a decision.
If you have a team, ask each person what they noticed first. Do not explain the design before they answer. Their first response tells you about the hierarchy people actually receive, not the hierarchy you intended.
And if the answers are different, do not panic. That is information. Maybe the image is stealing attention from the offer. Maybe the logo is too quiet. Maybe the action is clear, but the brand is not. The test does not grade you. It reveals the next decision.
That makes critique more generous. We are not asking who is right. We are asking what the audience is receiving and whether that supports the business goal.
So, if you remember only three things, remember this. Find the core signal before you decorate. Adapt the design according to the environment instead of copying one lockup everywhere. Then check the actual encounter, the size, distance, speed, lighting, noise, and attention level your audience will experience.
A phone screen, a printed piece, and a sign do not need to look like triplets wearing identical outfits.
They need to look like members of the same family.
pick one asset this week and test it in those three conditions. If you would like a starting point, register at mgwdstudios.com/submit for templates and downloads. And if your brand needs a clearer visual system across digital, print, and physical spaces, you can explore MG Wallace Design Studios at mgwdstudios.com.
Once a system works across three surfaces, the next challenge is keeping a team from reinventing it every week.
That is where the visual system becomes a repeatable marketing tool. Clear rules, flexible choices, and enough examples that people can make new assets without losing the original idea. We'll explore that in a future episode.
And hopefully, we will test something in the real world before we approve it.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, hit that subscribe button, drop a review, and share it with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost.
Until next time, test the idea where people actually meet it.
Until next time, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly. Design brilliantly. Connect creatively.